We extend Christian greetings to each one. We can say that we have been richly blessed so far today. The message that was laid on my heart to share is different from what I anticipated earlier in the week. For some reason, I just felt led to share today the message that the Lord helped me to prepare. And a confirmation of that is on the board behind us. In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. Brother Kevin's devotional also very much in tune. I felt led to share a message on matters of the heart. Today, I cannot look into your heart to know what the needs are there that you have. Are things in there that shouldn't be? I hope and trust you have a lot of things in your heart that should be there. Today, in going through this, I would like to expose myself, and I would like to share some of the needs that I might have. And as we go through this, I would like for each of us to look at our own heart. Our heart is like a garden, and God has made each one of you the guardian of your heart. What all is there, or what isn't there? Back in Jesus' day, when he walked on the earth as a man, there were quite a number of leaders, spiritual leaders, that resented him for the crowds that he drew. They tried to entrap him. And that situation was true in Luke chapter 10, the account where Jesus talks of the Good Samaritan. Would like to speak out of that at length today. There was a lawyer there who, wanting to tempt him, he had asked him, "What is written?" He had asked him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." It's easy for us sometimes to just read over that, and yeah, we know we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart. But do you? Do we? Do I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart? Jeremiah has this to say. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, he says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Then he follows it up in verse 10. He says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." We heard this morning in the devotional about the Lord knows everything about us anyhow. You know, I'm not really interested in knowing what all is in your heart, but I am concerned about what is in my heart. And I hope and trust that each one of you is concerned about what is in your heart. Whatever is there, the Lord knows it all. Verse 11 here in Jeremiah chapter 17 says, "As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool." I wondered about that and did a little research on the partridge. Why did Jeremiah have this to say? And it brought out that the partridge is a very skittish bird, fearful. And so a partridge may be sitting on a nest of eggs, and if something scares it, it will leave, never to return. If we look in our heart, are we fearful? If there is something in our heart that shouldn't be there, God is able to help us get rid of that. I would like to turn to Luke chapter 10. You can turn there with me if you will. And I would like to go over this account, read it. And I know that this is an account that is probably very familiar to you. So as I read it, I do have in mind to make comments out of it as the Lord leads. Starting in verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, looking at this lawyer here, it says this lawyer was tempting Jesus by asking this question. So, what was in this lawyer's heart? He, had an ulterior motive in asking this question. What was in his heart? Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he, this lawyer, he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, this lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. One more thing about this lawyer. A lawyer is a man that's supposed to have answers. And yet he was asking Jesus these questions, tempting him. And it just makes you wonder, what kind of heart did this man have? And we look at the thieves. What kind of heart did they have? That is so mean to come down and beat up a man that has things that we want, take it away from him, even strip the clothes off of him because they were so desperate. What they needed was the Lord Jesus Christ. But looking and thinking, and as we go through this, let's look at our own heart. What is there? They left him half dead. And it says in verse 31, And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. A priest is a man who performed sacrifices and was a mediator between God and man. He took one look at this half dead man and he passed by on the other side of the road. Verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. A Levite was a man who read the law to the people and served. They also served as teachers and judges. What was in this priest and this Levite? What was in their heart? Maybe it's not what was in their heart so much as what wasn't there. Care and compassion, love for a fellow man. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Then Jesus asked, Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. You see, the Samaritans were a looked down on people by the Jews. And it seemed like this lawyer couldn't even say the name, the Samaritan. He just said, Him that showed mercy on him. Makes me wonder if he thought he was so much better, just like a lot of those people did. What kind of heart did the Samaritan have? He was a good neighbor. This good Samaritan, and the way he acted there, I'd love having neighbors like that. You know, how can we be a good neighbor? You know, when we leave today to go to our homes, we don't expect to find a man lying half dead in the ditch. So, how can I be a good neighbor? Back when I was young, there were many small farmers in our community here. And we did a lot of work back and forth helping each other. Help each other out. Good neighbors. Today, a lot of that has changed. There are still some small farmers around, but there's also some big farmers. Farmers who farm big acreages. And now I want to share this, that I am not pointing my finger at anyone, merely at myself. This is what I encounter. And as we share this, look at yourself. What do you encounter? You know, I'm still a farmer. I don't farm a lot of acreage. But there are times that people that have small acreages don't have enough acreage to justify having expensive equipment. They will call a big farmer maybe and ask if he could come and mow their little patch of hay or do something with it. And the big farmer, looking at his big equipment, would maybe say that, well, I can't afford to come over there for under X amount of dollars. Well, paying that X amount of dollars that it would take for him to come over there would be an exorbitant price for a small farmer to pay for his small acreage. But I would share this, that a small operator, a small farmer, his little patch of a field has just as much value to him as a big operator's big field has to him. If we look at this good Samaritan here, he was a man that I have a tendency to think he was wealthy. You know, back in his day, there were no automobiles, there were no tractors, power equipment, power tools. But he had oil, he had wine, and he had a donkey, he had means of transportation like they did in his day. And how much did that cut into his schedule when he took of his time to take this man, put him on his donkey, and take him to an inn? And it says he poured in oil and wine. Wine is something I think that is maybe a disinfectant. And the oil would be healing. And he took care of him that night. He used of his own things that he had. He wasn't worried about this man being able to pay him for what he did. He used his own assets to fill the need that was there. He didn't worry about being paid for it. What kind of neighbor are we? Do we have to be paid for every little thing that we do? Or are our assets there for God, for his use, for his kingdom? How are we? As we look at our own heart. You know, there are many biblical accounts that we could look at and ask what was in their heart. We could think of Cain. We could think of the people who had Daniel thrown into the lion's den. You know, what was the motive in their heart to try to get rid of these people? But that is not so important today. What is important today is what is in my heart. What is in your heart? If you look in Acts chapter 4, the people there took note of Peter and John that they had been with Jesus. What do people think when they come in contact with me? Or what do they think when they come in contact with you? The way that you dress yourself, the clothes that you wear, the vehicles you drive, and how you drive, all that has to do with what's in your heart. Have you ever pulled up to a four-way stop, wanting to make a left-hand turn, and so you pull up kind of as far as what you can easy go and so that you can see if something is coming? And you see something is coming, you have to wait just a little bit till that vehicle is passed. And about that time, somebody comes up beside you, and he also pulls up as far as he can, just a little bit further than you did, so he can see if something is coming. But now he blocks your vision, and you can't see. So now you have to wait till that person goes. Am I that kind of driver? Or am I polite, and when I come up to a four-way stop, and I see that there's already a vehicle there, I make sure I don't drive quite as far up as he did so that I don't obstruct that person's vision. What is in our heart? Is it all about us or is it about others? The way you go about your work, the way you do your business, the way you conduct yourself around others, the way you conduct yourself when you are alone, the way we conduct ourselves in school, at home, or at church, it all has to do with what's in our hearts. God has made you the caretaker of your heart. Your body is the Lord's temple. He wants it to be. When you look at your heart, have you planted good seeds, the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Or did you not plant anything? If nothing is there in your garden, weeds will grow. Something will grow there. I would like to turn now to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. And this is something that I don't really enjoy doing, but I would like to just give us some food for thought. Look at the works of the flesh. And as we go through this list, and I also want to go through the fruits of the Spirit, I will be doing some reading here in my own notes that I wrote down what the meaning that I have wrote down for these works of the flesh. And I hope and trust that as we look at our own hearts, as we go through this, if there's anything there that shouldn't be there, the good Lord will help us take care of that. Coming out of verse 19, it talks about adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. I just wrote down here in my notes, lust. Is that something that is in our heart? Unhealthy desire for forbidden things. Idolatry. Is anything there you desire or prefer over and above God or his will for your life? Witchcraft. Do you desire ability to control others or have ability or power over them? Hatred. Is someone in your life that you just hate? Variance. Do you have a tendency to choose a different idea or way just to be different from others? Do you not like to blend in with the group of people you're a part of? Emulations. Desire to be superior to others. Wrath. I just wrote down anger. Strife. Are we in disagreement with others to the extent that it creates ill will? Seditions. Do we try to stir people up against authority? Heresies. False doctrine. Envyings. Unhealthy desire for things we don't have. And that is something that brings my mind back to the robbers that beat up the man and left him laying in the ditch. Envyings. Murders. Is there someone in your life that you wish God would somehow allow them to be killed in an accident or something? Drunkenness. Intoxications. Revelings. Partying to the extent of being involved in ungodly behavior. If these weeds or works of the flesh are allowed to be in our hearts, they will grow and it will be harder and harder to get rid of them, and they eventually will control you. So as you look at your heart, if there are things there that shouldn't be, God is always ready and able to help us eradicate those bad things out of our lives. Now I would like to look at the seeds that we should plant or have in our hearts, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, not hate, it's the greatest attribute we can have, true love. Joy. A feeling of pleasure and true happiness that we can only experience in Christ. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Peace. A rest in our heart, soul, and spirit. Long-suffering. Having patience in spite of troubles, especially those caused by other people. Gentleness. Being kind or mild-mannered. Goodness. Morally good or virtuous. Faith. Complete trust or confidence in God and His care for us. Meekness is an attribute of human nature or behavior defined as righteous, humble, teachable, patient in suffering, and being willing to follow gospel teachings. Temperance, moderation in action, thought, or feeling, being able to restrain indulgences in appetites or passions. If we look at these, and there are many more that could be added, such as care, compassion. And when we have those things in our hearts, God and His Holy Spirit will add and we will grow. Those things build good relationships. In the way that we live our lives, in our homes, when we sit around the table to eat, what is in our heart affects how we relate to others. And what is in our heart is so important. And God has made you the caretaker of your heart. what kind of person you want to be. God only knows, and God does not force you to do anything. But He puts things in front of us. He allows us to choose. He allows us to make the decisions that we do. And it seems like He does not interfere with our choices. But we are not able of our own selves to escape the consequences of the choices we make. And those things happen or don't happen because of choices that we make. I would like to relate just a brief account, in short, that is found in 2 Chronicles about King Jehoshaphat. If we think of King Jehoshaphat, he was a good king. We look at him as a very good man. And he had the Lord's blessings, but he had some things in his heart that evidently that he did that God did not feel good about. And he was king of Judah during the time of Ahab, and he had joined himself in affinity with Ahab. I had a question, well, what does that mean? Jehoshaphat's oldest son, Jehoram, got married to Ahab's daughter. And when Ahab went to battle in the fight that an arrow came through the air and hit him and mortally wounded King Ahab, Jehoshaphat was fighting alongside there in that same battle where Ahab ended up being wounded and where he lost his life. And after that happened, Jehoshaphat, going home, was met by a seer or a prophet from God. And this is what the seer said. It said, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is the wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And so God still blessed Jehoshaphat in his day because there were good things found in him. But if we go on a couple chapters more, we read where Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. Now, this is a consequence of choices that Jehoshaphat made, consequences that happened. When Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried, his oldest son Jehoram became king because he was his oldest son. But before Jehoshaphat died, he had other sons also that he established in different fenced cities in Judah. They were in leadership roles in those cities. But to his oldest son, he gave the kingdom. And his oldest son is the one that was married to Ahab's daughter. And when Jehoshaphat died, one of the first things Jehoram did was he went out and had all his brethren killed. That was a consequence from the affinity that Jehoshaphat had with Ahab. Sometimes we don't always make the best choices. And you know, we might think that we have a problem with this or that because of, or we might have this in our heart, we just can't get rid of it. And maybe our home situations were not the best. Well, there's none of us that has everything down pat. None of us has it all together. And some of us grew up in less than ideal homes. And some of us have less than ideal homes. But the good Lord is always there to help us. And the only way that we can have good homes is if we have good things in our heart. How can you expect to have good homes when you have bad things in your heart? So if you want to have the blessing of the Lord in your life, it's important that we have good things in our hearts. And if we put those fruits of the Spirit that were mentioned, if we have those established in our hearts, then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." With these thoughts, let's kneel for a word of prayer.